Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream. In the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you the message.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the next to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Hey.
Well, peace and blessings. This is your girl, Bree, and you have entered the Bree Life Radio Show. Love Times Love Week, because it's Valentine's Day week, people. And I'm being joined by the infamous, the always lively, Mark Said It, in Houston, Texas. What's happening, baby?
Hey, what's going on, Bree? The place where we inhale and breathe light. What's going on? Hey,
we ain't breathing question. Heavy. We breathing light.
Hey, you know, I was digging. Well, you know what? I was digging that weather, man. They talk about y'all getting ready to get a nor'easter.
Yes. 6 to 10 inches. And I have not moved my car in 12 days. We've had four snowstorms. In 2 weeks, and I haven't moved my car in 12 days. My car is sitting on triple layers of ice and hard-ass snow.
Well, guess what's going to happen now?
I tell you. Well, Mark, you know it's Love Times, Love Week here on Bree Life Radio. And our first two discussions of part one and two, they were confrontational and controversial. They invoked a lot of emotions in some of our listeners, some of our callers. But, you know, this is Bree Life Radio, where we have provocative dialogue that provoke. So, you know, without further ado, let's get to it. What are we talking about tonight, Mark?
Well, you know, February the 14th, which is Friday, is Valentine's Day. And what I found is that millions of people will be celebrating it in the United States and abroad. And so this day has been traditionally marked with, you know, giving your cards, candies, flowers, going to dinner. And another little tidbit I found out was 220, and this is the estimate, 220,000 people get engaged on this day because they say it's supposed to be associated with getting having a lucky and healthy possibility towards having a marriage. So I think that's quite interesting. And not only that, it takes me back to the days when we were young, and I always remember that my mother get us little Valentine's cards that we would take to school and pass out. So the funny thing about it, as adults, we talk about the whole thing of, you know, a mate or a girlfriend or somebody that we're liking like that. But the tradition is steeped in our culture going way back to even our grade school years. And the thing that I also know is that, you know, if you go back to the whole tradition, it started off as some kind of fertility type of festival with the Romans, and then the Christians took over, and grabbed it because they wanted to make it right. And when I say the Christians, I'm talking about the Catholic Church. They took it, and they basically put St. Valentine's, his name on it, and it was called Feast of St. Valentine. The funny thing about it is the whole concept of giving cards and gifts and stuff, that's something that's that didn't start until about the 1300s. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. And it's a holiday that a lot of people have a lot of mixed feelings about. You know, a couple movies out there. There's a couple movies coming out this weekend that's surrounding the romantic, mystic going-ons that surround the day. And not only that, what I notice is that there's great anticipation with joy and pleasure, but on the other side of it, we have people who feel pressure and displeasure when it comes to this day. As I said yesterday when we were talking, it's some statistics out there, whether you believe it or not. You have statistics and you got beliefs behind those statistics. That is that before days leading up to Valentine's Day and shortly after Valentine's Day, there are a lot of breakups. So
that's interesting because, you know, just speaking on the for not so much the breakup perspective, but just the anxiety associated with Valentine's Day and people's expectations or lack of interest even in it. And when you have two people on opposite sides of the spectrum in a relationship or in a dating circumstance that are about to embark on this day, the anxiety that, you know, both individuals feel about it, you have to take the person who really isn't interested in the whole concept of Valentine's Day. Well, he or she may be feeling pressure because they know that there's some expectation for them to do something. And then the person who they're involved with who has the great expectation of what's supposed to happen on this day has anxiety because he or she may know who she's who he or she is dealing with, and they're hoping that they're not going to be disappointed on this particular day. So there's a level of anxiety that that person is going through right now. And trust me, I've had several conversations about this over the last couple of weeks. People and even friends, even people who are friends that merely hang out with one another, but I think one may like the other more than the other, and you know me in the friend zone and stuff like that, which I think we should touch on too. How does two people, or how does even one navigate during this time of Valentine's Day with a friend who could possibly be a potential lover? So there's a lot going on this week emotionally with people. And I'd be interested to hear from our listeners, which I want to just take a moment out to thank them for their support, their continued support. I want to thank the new listeners, and I want to give people an opportunity to call in and talk to us, and they can do so by calling 347-826-7119. That number again is 347-826-7119. Both Mark said it, and I, we are very interested in hearing what you have to say about the whole concept of Valentine's Day. Should it be glorified the way it's always been? Or like our listener or caller last night said, that Valentine's Day really isn't that special, that the other 364 days out of the year should really be what two people focus on. So we want to hear from you. But Mark, as you were saying about the statistics.
Well, I was going to tell you something else that's quite interesting. They say $20 billion will be spent, and it breaks it down to about $130. This is the average. The average is about $130 like per person, per date, so to speak. And then they say somewhere around an estimate $200 million is spent on jewelry. you know, or jewelry. So
I like jewelry. Size 8 finger, 7.5, 8 finger, please.
They say 20 million roses are given, and 35 million pounds of candy.
Now I love roses, but I'm not a lover of red roses. I'll accept them, of course, but you know I don't like red flowers. I like any other color except for red. Just for, you know, in case someone's out there listening, just to kind of remind them that I don't like red flowers. Oh, and candy, I prefer, what is that, Ferrero Rocher? I don't like the individual candies that have different fillings in them. Don't like that. I'm kind of a control freak. I like candy with nuts in it, and I like to know that that's what I'm biting in. Just in case you listening out there. Continue, Mark.
Well, you know, so if anybody out there wants to Google, they can Google Valentine's Day anxiety, and you will be amazed at what pops up. A lot of it. Valentine's
Day. Let's talk about some of it.
So we got
social
Valentine's
anxiety.
They talk about depression connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of it is very similar to what they would call performance anxiety. You know, it's the whole issue of making sure that you show up and do the thing the right way. You know, whatever the right way is, like the right can't, like you just said. So now a guy, what if he doesn't know all of that, but he wants to give you something? He comes with red roses and he comes with Hershey's Kisses. Okay, here's the reality. The reality is that now, let's say you react some a certain way. Next year, if it's not you and him, it's somebody else, he may develop a level of anxiousness based upon the fact that he didn't want to get it wrong again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to get it wrong again because it's such a big day. They say it's the only other day that you give more cards out is Christmas. Christmas is the only other day where more cards are given than Valentine's. So Valentine's cards, making sure you get the right card. What do you say? If it's a young lady that you see, do you talk about love in the card? Do you talk about special friend? Do you get a comical card? Do you get some serious card? I mean, it's all of this crazy stuff, and I guarantee you, I was in the grocery store today, and I saw all the people hovering around the Valentine. I saw them buying cards. I'm like, boy, and they're looking, back and forth.
Right.
So as such, it's got to be a serious decision and a serious undertaking to make sure you get the right thing, you know.
And if I may interject right there, what about two people who recently met, let's say within the last month? And they're liking one another, but now they're new to each other. Is there an expectation to spend Valentine's Day with one another, or should there not be an expectation because it is new? How do you even broach the conversation with two new people that could have met a week from now, or I mean a week ago or a month ago, and this is all very new? That's anxiety, you know, building too. But you have this new person in your life, you like them, but you're not really sure, you know, that you should be participating in Valentine's Day activities with them. How do you deal with being with somebody brand new and they may have the expectation, but you're not really sure? See, that's another thing, the brand new relationship during this time.
So you're not alone with that feeling. I was looking at a blog, and so it started off something like this. Okay, so I have been dating a new guy for only a couple of weeks at this point, but it's going well. We've seen each other about 3 times in each of these weeks, and it seems like a strong start. So my issue is trying to figure out what is appropriate for Valentine's Day. At the point we will have been dating for 5 weeks, I'm thinking a card and a moderately priced gift would be the right thing, but
I wouldn't be insulted if he didn't get me anything, given the relationship is still so new. Wrap it and keep it in the car so that it's available if he doesn't get me something. I don't want to make him feel like a boot if he doesn't get me anything, so that way I could keep it in the car. Am I totally overthinking this? What would you do expect for Valentine's Day at the 5-week mark? So, hey, it's a thread, and if you read this thread, everybody got a whole thing. Some one person said, definitely no gift. He'll feel like crap if he didn't get you anything. Another person says, guys don't care about getting gifts on Valentine's Day, and la, 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 which brought me to the idea that it is very woman or woman-driven. You know, and just listening to what you said about your candy type and your flower type, and then do I take you out to dinner, and what's the proper thing to do? And I, again, because remember, Valentine's Day is typified by a heart, a red heart, and red hearts symbolically mean love. So you kind of like, do I want to get her anything? Because I don't want her to be thinking about some love stuff, and I'm just liking her, and or trying to figure out if I do like her. Some people say, it's just a symbolism. It don't really mean anything. It's just like a courtesy, like when, like, you know, coming over to somebody's house with some food or a bottle, like we always talk about. It's a courtesy thing. If you got a girl that you talk to very, very regularly, y'all have some kissy faces, then you bring her something. You know, however, listening to Bree, you better know what to bring. And guess what? This is probably going through a man's mind.
No, no, no. Please don't misquote me. I'm not saying that the person better know, because I'm very appreciative for the effort. You know, you're not going to get it right all the time unless you really, really just know that person. Like, anybody who really, really knows me knows that I don't like red roses. My favorite cake is strawberry shortcake from Junior's. And I like Ferrero Rocher chocolates. If you bought me a slice of strawberry shortcake, you bought me a bouquet of flowers, even if it had a red rose or two in it, I'd be very happy. You know, if we just met, you could do something simple. And if you want to go out to dinner or something like that, that would be nice. If you want to say, you know what, especially since the weather is going to be so terrible on Friday, let's stay in, let's order a bunch of food. I'll bring a bottle of champagne or Moscato over, and, you know, we'll just have a nice quiet evening. And that's nice too, you know. But it's the effort. It is the effort. But I will say to the men out there, don't walk in there with nothing in your hand. I don't care if you know the person a couple of weeks, and definitely if you've been with the person for 6 months, a year, several years, you cannot walk in there with no card, flowers, some kind of chocolate, you know, a piece of cake, something in hand.
Well,
please,
see, listen
don't do
to that.
That.
So
then we're going to have another type of show.
So what you're saying, though, is it's alluding mm-hmm. to the social pressure. Just listening to
exactly.
you say that, it's a social pressure. So
it is.
What's happening is, so now if you say that, you're still faced with what do I walk in the door and bring. So as much as you said that you're appreciative of everything, because think about this. Men are kind of anal. So you set up and you started off, see what I locked into. The first thing you said
uh-huh.
was you start talking about don't bring me no red roses. Okay?
No, I did not say
what?
Don't bring me any red roses. I said I don't particularly care for red roses. But
okay,
I will accept them because you took the time to go to a florist and spend money on red roses. I'm going to accept those red roses.
But if a person already
knows me, they know I you know, red is not my favorite.
When you started out, you said, don't bring me any red.
No, I did not say don't. I said, I don't particularly care for red roses. That's what I think.
Well, no, you actually changed it up, and you did.
I said I don't like red roses. I don't like red roses, but I will.
And you said, bring me what kind of candy?
I said Ferrero Rocher.
Okay, stop. There you go. So you gave some specific guidelines. So if a guy is listening right now, and he's not your boyfriend or nothing, but he is he likes some woman out there. What's going through his mind is, damn, I wonder exactly what I should be getting her. Because I'm listening to Bree, and she really clear kind of I like about what she wants. And she did kind of soften it up a little bit. When she came out the gate, she wasn't saying it like that. Okay? So now, what about if I got to get some for Cindy? Maybe she feeling the same way.
Somebody who's buying me something is buying somebody else something? Is that what you're saying?
No, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you got people listening to the show, they listening to you, and they're framing you as the prototypical woman. So they're saying, well, damn, if I got to go buy Cindy something, I want Cindy thinking like Bree is thinking. And so should we be talking about this leading up to Valentine's Day or what? Because I don't know. And now, think about it. Today is Wednesday, so let's say they just have this. They're just thinking about it. What do I do? I can see them right now in Walgreens, in the florist shop, wherever they are, the grocery stores. Because right now, one thing about it is, like I said, you make a lot of money selling during this time of the year, and Valentine's Day. So guess what? Grocery stores got bouquets of flowers, all kind of candies, overstocked. They got it in your corner store. They have them everywhere now. So now you got people huddling around. Even people, it's a cottage industry, because for a lot of people, especially down here in Houston, you pass a parking lot, and you got folks out in the parking lot right now with little tents with a bunch of different types of trinkets, whether it be, you know, roses, bouquets of various carnations, different kind of candies, teddy bears, all this kind of stuff on the side of the road. So you got people, and it's basically men. I'm going to tell you, this is basically geared at the man giving the woman some stuff. So even in the threads that I'm reading, they're like, yeah, it's optional if the woman wants to buy something, if she wants to give him something. But the guy, as you said, and you said it, you put extra pressure. You said, you better walk in the door with something.
Yeah, walk in the door with something.
But I gotta walk in the door with the right thing because guess what? The reality is
you know what? When it's brand new, Mark, you don't always know what the right thing is. But here we go back to my initial or our initial conversations. You know, the first couple of months of Bree Life Radio in 2012, where I used to constantly talk about how some men today have no dating etiquette, where they come to your home when you've taken the time to cook them a nice meal, you've created atmosphere for them, and they walk in the door not even with a bottle of soda. So let's go back to etiquette 101, amp it up for the sake of Valentine's Day, And please walk in the door with something in your hand other than the lint or in your pockets or, you know, whatever else you could be holding.
Let me say this.
Please.
Let me say this. So we have Valentine's etiquette do's and don'ts. Number one, do not make a dinner reservation for February 14th. They basically say call the restaurant and speak to the hostess or make a booking on OpenTable.com, for instance, plan to go to dinner with a date or friends. It says number two, do discuss Valentine's Day in advance. This is what we're talking about right now. It says bring up the topic of Valentine's Day with your spouse or the person you are dating. Be prepared to compromise if you have differing views on the holiday. Number three, don't wait until the last moment. Avoid waiting until the week before to ask your date out. If you have feelings, ask him or her at least 10 days to 2 weeks in advance. avoid procrastination. Number four, do extend the Valentine invitation in person or over the phone. Avoid sending email and things like that. They say avoid sending email. So I can imagine in this day and age, folks might be text messaging.
Yeah. I hear text messages going out right now.
Yeah, you know, so you got the text message going out, and so that's crazy. This says, do bring flowers. Okay. Flowers are a time-honored tradition. Unless you know the recipient has an allergy, remember classic red roses represent passion and love. Pink roses convey admiration. Yellow roses express happiness. White roses send a message of friendship. If you can remember the recipient's favorite flower, you are a star. Remember, a single rose is also a beautiful statement, as it is the thought that counts. Number six, do accept invitations to Valentine's celebrations. Enjoy events without a date. Wear red and be open to the possibilities. Number seven, do brush up on your table manners. Acknowledge the people you are with on February 14th and respect their time. Be sure that your credit card is up to date and below the limit. Nothing ruins a date faster than a decline on a card. Keep your cell phone on silent.
That happened to me.
And it says, keep your cell phone on silent and safely tucked out of sight. Remember to avoid looking at your cell phone, as it conveys boredom to those in your presence. Number eight.
That's right.
Don't go overboard with gifts. If you are still recovering from your December buying spree, remember, a thoughtful card, a home-cooked meal, and a great conversation make a memorable Valentine's evening. And then number nine, do wish special friends happy Valentine's Day when you awaken. Send texts, voicemails, and emails. Wish your circle happy Valentine's Day. If you have plans for the evening, let your date know that you're looking forward to the evening. Valentine's Day is for expressing passion to our loved ones. Take this opportunity to show the special ones how much you appreciate them. So, that's quite interesting.
Oh, very, very interesting.
So we got a little etiquette for our people who are listening right now, which you might want to try.
Thank goodness.
But some of it is already messed up, because if you're just thinking about it this week, and wait a minute, forget it. If you're just thinking about it tonight, it is, if I'm correct, tonight is Wednesday night. So Wednesday is over with. So basically, you got a day and a half. Really a day, unless you can run out right now. You really got a day. And then you got whatever part of Friday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it gets to be an issue of the social pressure. And just reading this, it's suggesting you need to do these things. You need to do something, which is like, okay, when you tell somebody they have to do something or it's important that they do it, then that's pressure right there. You know?
I was just going to mention something also that we didn't touch on, too, that it's sort of like a light revisit to what we were talking about last night with the fade to black. That's another thing that also builds anxiety in a person. Someone that they've been dating or they've been involved with, and in the last week or two, they're starting to see a twist and turn or lack of presence in the person who they've been involved with. And it's getting less and less and less as we approach Friday. People have anxiety about that too. And how do you navigate that? How do you address that in a person, you know, with a person that you've been involved with? You know, it's such a delicate...
That they're fading to black?
That they're fading to black.
Well, I mean, okay, so... Here's the thing. If both of you are, at least my experience is, you got people who are awake and who are asleep. So So if this is a relationship that's been going on for a while, I think you probably have some cues and some clues that it's some issues. Like you said, if it's a fade, now if this is just walk out and disappear, that's one thing. But if they're fading, you already see a lot of stuff. So now you just have to come to terms with whether you believe what you're seeing. And you trust your instincts.
Uh-huh.
So if you believe what you're seeing and you trust your instincts, then I guess, you know, you make a preemptive strike and move around. If you really think
move around that, so quickly, you can
well,
move around so quickly
well,
on Valentine's Day. So if old girl who you've been dating is fading to black, and it's clear that she's not going to be present on Valentine's Day, you find an alternate. You move around
well,
and find an
said,
alternate that quick.
Well, no, wait. If that's the case, I mean, we're talking about two different things. If you're saying she's leaving and I want a girlfriend, then you would find an alternate if that's what you feel you need.
Well,
but,
right now we're dealing with Valentine's Day upon.
It don't make a difference. There's gonna be people alone
right.
on Valentine's Day. It's gonna be people alone on Valentine's Day, or not with a couple, or they're gonna be in a group. They're going to be groups that are going to go out on Valentine's night and whatever and kick it because, you know, it's a Friday night anyway. So by it being a Friday night, that makes it easy for some. You're going to find groups of females that are going to be going out together that are single and kicking it with each other at the club. You know, you're going to find situations like that. You know, you might even find situations where the family is getting together. You know, mom is dad has passed on or been divorced, mom is a little older, you go hang out with mom, the kids might come over or something like that. Depends. So it's a lot of different ways to do it without having to have that pressure, especially if you don't have anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You know, so they're alternate. Because like I said, when I was growing up, you got mom and them bought cards for us. So you may decide to hand out cards, spend time with the kids because here's the reality. If you don't have a relationship, you don't have a relationship, okay? And if your guy is walking out on you and you see he's moving away, then you've been knowing this. So, you know, you might just take a, you know, hey, you may take an, as they, you know, how you do in football, you take a kneel. You know, take a
uh-huh.
knee. That's what you might have to do. Just go ahead and take a knee, you know. But especially if you're a woman, you already kind of know. Now, for a man, we sometimes don't get stuff, so we might be like looking like, really? why you ain't coming? What's the deal? so we not kicking it. You know, I mean, you might have that. I mean, cause trust me, I'd have been there. Well, I was blindsided only because I was blind. Not because it wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if I had to open my eyes and looked around, it was there. But I, you know, the way I saw it and handled it, it didn't kind of work out into my behalf. And then I was feeling some kind of way because, hey, you gone. you want it over. Why? You know, that's what the 50-year-old turns into the 15-year-old, you know. You know, and that's what it is, you know. So I don't see that it's that big of a it shouldn't be that big of a surprise. So if they're fading, then that's exactly what you call it. It's been happening then. Fading is not like a sudden loss of color. You know, it's not like a sudden loss of sight. You know when it was starting to get circles, and then you start getting, you couldn't kind of hardly see. Come on. You know, you saw the dimmer. It started dim. It's like fading to black is like daylight turning into to evening turning into night. It's a progression that you are either A, paying attention to, or you are not. I mean, it's like a kid sitting up and saying, damn. The street lights just came. They came on. You know it was getting dark. You ignored it.
Right.
You ignored it.
The signs are always there, and we tend to see what we want to see. And, you know.
Because we're like the kids. Think about it. We're like the kids that don't want to go in at night. We don't want to go in. We want to stay out all night. So we want to act like we don't see it getting dark. But then eventually.
Not with my mother.
What?
My mother used to say, don't make me come downstairs with no shoes on.
She said, don't
let darkness touch you.
here's the point. Even with that situation, that's an example of the moment of reckoning. So if you do wait that long, then guess what's going to happen? Mama coming at you. Guess what happens if you do wait that long to acknowledge your stuff is rolling out? You're going to be standing there hurting and up and just, like, oblivious. So that's up to you. That's up to you. You know, I mean, it's no doubt communication, especially when things are fading, it ain't a whole lot of communication. Meaning the kind of communication that you may be expecting. Because it's always communication, folks. Let's get something straight. Relationships are never void of communication. They're always communicating. Number one, we know that since we're sensual people, meaning we're people of the five senses, that we communicate with all of them, not to mention our sixth sense or that unspoken thing. So communication is constant in a relationship. There's no such thing as no communication. Now, you have communication which is more predicated upon sitting down and reasoning and conversing. But, again, that's not the only communication. And so when folks are doing different things, acting different ways, when there is a shift, acknowledge that that's the shift. Now, it's on you at that point to seek out the person and say, hey, I noticed X, Y, and Z. But now if you ain't noticing or you're ignoring, then why would you say anything to them? You wouldn't. So then you get the February surprise. You know, you get the October surprise. That's what you get. And that's okay. I mean, you know what? That's okay because that's what you probably needed so that you could, you know, maybe open your eyes the next time. Or maybe it may take a couple relationships come to that point that you're going to start paying attention.
Oh, my.
You know. But we get it when we get it. And never sooner. We never get it sooner than when we get it. That's the beauty and the pain of the whole thing. We don't get it till we get it. And then when we had that unbelievable aha moment, you know, where it's an epiphany and the clouds part, then we feel like, that's it. Man, some of us go through a lot of relationships before we get to there. A lot of relationships before we get there, before we wake up, before Harold Melvin start playing in the background. No.
Another song. Which one is this?
Wake up, everybody.
Okay.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, everybody. Yeah, that's what it is. Harry Melvin started playing like, I got it. Yeah, I see. I see, said the blind man on a sunny day. So, yeah, that's a beautiful thing, you know, when we get to that point. But, again, since life is a journey, then that's we pick it up somewhere along the way. You know, we do. I mean, eventually. And then some of us, you know, we may never truly grasp it, meaning we know this much. We always have to deal with the consequences or the fallout of it. But that doesn't mean that we get it and grasp it, process it, and then implement it in our own lives. See, so those are pieces. But these are things we accumulate or should accumulate on our journey through relationshiphood, you know. And those relationships, to me, you know, I heard somebody get really derogatory about a woman who had been married several times, three times or four times. And I said, well, why would you get upset? I said, because you're just looking at marriage. Marriage is a type of relationship. So if we include all of the significant relationships you have been in and then didn't work, you're not very successful at relationships either. You know, so if you only count, if marriage only counts, you know, marriage is just another relationship. It's a legal form of a relationship, but it's still another relationship where you, the same things you employ as far as your emotional connectivity and interaction, that's in a relationship that's not called a marriage. It just doesn't have the legal binding part that requires you to split up stuff and make other decisions once it goes south. But it's the same thing to me, so I don't count marriage any different. It's just another another relationship that you have to figure out how to navigate, and you will have levels of successes. Because one of my Mark said it's go like this. It says relationships don't never fail; they just end and release you to fly again. And so my belief, my theory, and mumble jumble is that relationships don't fail; they just lead you to self. Discovery that should help you when you embark on your next journey or the next part of your journey with someone else.
Okay. So let's revisit something you said earlier, which is something that we've constantly talked about in our early Bree Life radio shows, and that is communication. We still are not communicating well. And we have already established that one of the reasons why communication is not successful between men and women is because fundamentally one or both don't start out with the willingness to want to communicate. That's very interesting because I had a discussion with a woman that's been in a relationship with this person that they've known for quite a long time. And he doesn't like to talk, and she likes to talk. And she especially likes to talk when there are issues or something that has happened, and she wants to address it. And when he sensed that she's about to unleash on him, as I would say, in many instances, unleash and want to have a conversation, he shuts down. So for someone who you have and since you're a man, Mark, you know, what type of advice would you offer this woman who obviously cares about this person and is trying to do her part to keep the lines of communication open and not seem like, you know, there's always issues, but she wants to be able to work whatever, resolve whatever issue may bubble up so that they can move past that and go on to the next thing. What would be your, and see, I know this is kind of an oxymoron to you because you being so communicative, you know, the only common thread here is that you're, you know, she's talking about a man and you are a man. But, you know, what I know about you, you like to talk. But what advice would you offer her?
Okay, number one, this is just me. We communicate very well. The issue is not the lack of communication. It's what is being communicated, number one. So we talk a lot about communication, which usually we talk about some verbal stuff. And we're always – there's no time when there's no communication. So let's get that straight. There's always communication. So now we're talking about understanding who's standing in front of us and understanding who we are. Okay. We have to look at communication style. We also have to look at gender's impact on communication, meaning there's enough information out here that suggests that men and women don't communicate the same way, but we all are communicating now, always communicating. So the bigger issue is understanding how men communicate, how they process information, the fact that it is not uncommon for a woman to not be very specific and desire that a man have some level of intuition and kind of intuit what she's saying. It's also very common for a woman to feel some level of irritation and angst when he doesn't get it. I use an example, for instance, and again, it's just an example, somewhat of an exaggeration of stuff, but it's like we're laying in a bed together, and you say to me, you say, Mark, I'm hot. Okay, so a man is very anal most of the time. So he just heard you say I'm hot. So what does that mean? So a woman may think you should know what that means. Well, I don't know what it's hot means. Meaning, should I turn the air conditioner on? Do we need to pull some cover off? Do you want me to turn the fan on? Do you want me to turn the fan on, the air conditioner on, and pull the cover off? You didn't say. Now, when I say that to a woman, every woman I say that to, she's like, whatever, Mark. But I'm saying, okay, you can say whatever, Mark. Shake your head to it, but probably can point to instances of your relationship where something like that happened. And I'm trying to tell you, if you tell a man, baby, I'm hot, can you turn the air conditioner on? We understand that. Women don't always communicate like that. Because
okay. I need to reel you back in.
But let me say this real quick. The other part is, because when you all are communicating with each other, it's like you all know a lot already about whatever it is. Y'all feel y'all way through a lot of stuff. Men are not good feeling through a lot. They're very good with instruction and with information that is concise and specific to a particular function or a particular a thing that needs to be done. So.
Okay. Or for this woman who is in a relationship with a man who is very quiet and laid back and doesn't like to talk about, he doesn't express himself emotionally, and he doesn't like to talk about, you know, when apparently he's done something that has concerned her in some kind of way. What advice would you give her to be able to deal with this without pushing him away or irritating him? Because, you know, of course she wants to talk it out. She wants to work it out.
Okay, what she needs to acknowledge is, I don't know, first of all, tell me something. How long have they been together?
I think over a year.
Okay, so here's the thing.
But they've known one another a really long time.
That's fine. So listen to this. So, once upon a time we met, and once upon a time I had to do something to talk to get your attention. Some kind of communication, verbal communication was going on. And she does know about what he does and can and really is willing to do when it comes to verbal mm-hmm. communication.
Uh-huh.
So she needs to harken back to those things because he does communicate. She knows how he communicates already. She knows what he has said before. She knows these things. So if that's her concern, I'm saying she needs to look at the fact, okay, what has gotten to him before? Because, again, once upon a time we met. He had to say something when we met.
Well, you know, always in the beginning, there is a level of flexibility, tolerance, understanding, compassion that we allow for because we're trying to engage one another.
Again, all I'm saying is it came out of that person. So it's in that person. That's all I'm saying. It's in there. It ain't like there's no more left. It's in there.
Okay, it's in there, but she wants to know at this point in their relationship where he's not talking a lot and doesn't want to talk a lot and doesn't want to listen to her talking mm-hmm. about the things that she's not particularly comfortable with, how can she communicate with him in a way that gets her point across but yet does not irritate him, pushes him away, causes him to shut down?
Number one, men generally, you have those who are very verbose. Most men don't do a whole lot of talking. Most of them don't.
So let's get that straight. So if she has to ask herself, what is the importance to her? What is it that she needs to communicate? If she's looking for somebody to have this la, 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 would she need to call Bree? So what she needs
don't
to understand
call
is
me.
Some, well, I'm
because
saying, I'm just saying.
Me.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If she wants to, if she feels like being chatty, she probably needs to understand most men are not very chatty. And when they are, they're not very interested in a lot of the things that women are chatty about. That's why, again, back to the whole concept of the social. See, our biggest problem right now is that we don't have social organisms to support our various frequencies and needs. So there used to be a time when we had communities that we got together. So you go holler with your girl, so you didn't need your guy to do certain things. But now we're so isolated, removed, and not very socially integrated in a culture no more. So now you need him to supply all of the things that you would get from the different parts of the community. You might not be near your mama. You might not be around your girlfriends. You might not be in none of that stuff. So now he got to be that guy. He has never been that guy, because if you remember when you met him, he never was that guy. Promise you, probably never was that guy. So now you need him to be that guy that he never was. So now if it's about the bills ain't getting paid, the garbage needs to be taken out, my back itch, could you scratch it? That's very specific. Thank you, she can communicate and get those things taken care of. But if she just want to sit around and talk about the snow is coming down and I was hurt, I mean, come on. So she has to ask herself, what is it that she needs to be communicating? And does it make sense to require him to do that? Because she's romanticized what she needs to get from the guy. Well, I need my – well, if you needed a talking guy that was constantly communicating, you knew he wasn't that guy, and most guys ain't. Most guys are not very talkative. I will tell women every day. I don't have to tell them because they got to tell me. I'm an anomaly.
Yes, you are.
Because I do talk. I know that. But I know my homeboys, they talk – we talk. When we talk about what we talk about with – about, but we don't want. They don't want to talk about that stuff to the woman, because when we talk about it, men are very simple conversing, very simple. Man, you see that? You hit him, man. Yeah, he went down hard, man. We're looking at a football game. Think about the things we talk about. We talk a lot about sports. We don't talk a lot about talk. Believe it or not, unless we're in the politics. We don't talk about a lot of politics. The only time we talk about politics is if it's affecting our paycheck. That's when we might talk about some stuff like that. But for the most part, we ain't not talking about no politics. We talk about sports. We may talk about some things that popped off in the community if we're still around in the hood. But and we might talk about women that we saw. But even when we talk about the women, we either talk about somebody that irritated our ass or how good she looked. But that's even simple. It's like we are simple. Women can have conversations all kind of stuff. So this woman may be sitting here wanting all this kind of stuff from a guy. I'm saying she may need to go socialize with some of her sister, get a sister here. She gets that out of her sister. So when she come home, she ain't need that man for that.
But
now,
from my understanding, the issue is not the sisterhood type of conversation that's not existing between them. The problem is that if he does something or doesn't do something that's relevant to their relationship, she wants to discuss it with him.
Right.
And when she begins to talk about it, she said you could see his whole body language, like, you know, turn into Colossus, like from I'm using that graphic because I'm a Marvel enthusiast. Colossus is the mutant that has the titanium that go click, 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 click all the way down from his head mm-hmm. all the way down to his toes.
Yeah.
So,
she
just sees a metamorphosis come over him, and the body language becomes very stiff. And then if he does say something, it's usually, I don't want to talk about this. So,
wait a minute. So let's deal with something. So now we have I don't want to communicate. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you. So you can't get me to talk to you because I don't want to talk to you. So now we're talking about some other problems now. We're talking about, so why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Okay, she's probably, again, I guarantee you, I just don't know. I think if she could stop and think about, because especially a woman knows when she first starts seeing the changes way better than a man does. So she could probably walk herself back to what's going on. She could stop. She could probably even tell you how their intimacy is or how it isn't, as far as levels of frequency, as far as his ability to handle responsibilities in the house or around the house. So let's look at the things that are outside of the verbal thing per se. What else is he doing? So is he the man? He's handling all the business. They got an unbelievable love life. Because to me, if he's irritated when she opened her mouth, he kind of don't even want to deal with her. Because I ain't never seen a man that every time a woman, everything she said, that's my woman. I don't want to hear what's coming out of her mouth. Then he got another, it's a whole other issue. He's feeling some kind of way about this woman. He ain't left, or maybe he is leaving or fading, as you say. I don't know. I don't know that situation. But my point is, I would keep suggesting to her to trace back when she saw all of this stuff unfolding, and what did she do? Started unfolding because what I think
here's what I would like to do, Mark. If I may, we have a caller from the 414 area code. We're going to bring them online and allow them to chime in on our discussion.
Okay.
Peace and blessings. We've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. Oh. I'm Bree, and you are talking with, also Mark said it. Who's on the line tonight?
Mark from Milwaukee.
Hi, Mark
Chicago.
From Milwaukee. How are you?
What's up, Brother Mark? Where you say you from again? By way of what, Chicago?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by way of Chicago.
What part of Chicago?
South Side, Englewood.
Englewood, okay. Englewood, Roberson High School. I'm from Chicago. I went to CVS. I went to Chicago Vocational High School, so I'm in Houston, You went where?
I went to Roberson.
Okay, Roberson. Yeah, we used to play y'all up at Gately. It used to get crazy.
Yeah.
Used to get crazy.
All after every game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, yes, we did. Yeah. It was a fight after right on the 103rd, every game. You're right. Hey, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? Talk to us.
Well, no, I got invited to call in, and I haven't called the topic of the conversation, so I'm kind of not in the loop. I thought I would try to call in, and I'm just leaving the gym and see if I can catch up with the conversation and see what's going on.
Okay. Well,
discussion is about, the overall theme of the show is Love Times Love, and this is our part three show. And today we're talked about a lighter topic because we had 2 days of consistent controversy about some issues, but we're talking about Valentine's Day, and we're talking about love, we're talking about the etiquette that goes along with Valentine's Day, we're talking about the anxiousness that also goes hand in hand with Valentine's Day on both the side of men and women. And recently I just asked Mark a question about how do you get a gentleman who is not very communicative, who doesn't really like to talk, or address certain issues in the relationship engaged enough to to try to talk and communicate and work things out. I have a listener that contacted me and said that she's been in a relationship with a gentleman for over a year, and for the most part, their relationship is okay, but the one thing that sends everything out of sorts and in a downward spiral is the fact that when she has concerns about something he may or may not have done and she wants to talk about it, he shuts down. And he's either like, why are you complaining about this? You're always complaining about something. I don't want to talk about this. So I asked Mark, what constructive ideas or advice could he offer this woman on how she can get good conversation and communication going between her and her partner? So that just to bring you up to speed. So if you have any thoughts about that, or if there's another topic that you'd like to share with our listeners, feel free to chime in.
Well, I just listening to what you were saying. Dealing with a person for a year, and it sounds like one person loves to communicate and the other one doesn't. Based on my experience, and I don't know how old these individuals are, but
they're in their 40s.
Yeah, they don't sound compatible.
Thanks.
You know, and you can ignore the signs. You know, you can look at it and say it's a small thing. He does everything else, but and you could pretend not to know that something is wrong, but in reality, she's not getting what she wants. She likes to communicate. She likes attention. She likes her mate's input on things. She likes to try to get a pulse on how he's feeling, what he's thinking, how, you know, and she can't get that, and that leaves her feeling stressed, you know, or left out of the loop. You know, she's not a part of a man's life if he's not communicating what's going on with her. So she, right
so
now,
Mark,
she's to me.
Let me ask you something, Mark. Let me ask you something real quick. So I'm listening to what you're saying, and I have a question to you. Do you think, since it's been a year, do you think from day one there's some kind of trail that would have given our idea that this guy wasn't that guy?
Yeah, we know. We know. We definitely don't take a year to find out. We'll pretend not to know, you know, and then when we don't get what we want, because we put ourselves through those changes, then we cry victim down the line. But the responsibility is ours to make a grown up decision on what exactly is it that I'm looking for out of a relationship. If I like to talk, there's no way I'm gonna be with someone that doesn't like to talk. If I like to laugh, no way I'm going to be with someone that doesn't like to laugh. You know, if I'm an outgoing personality and I like to go out, go to jazz shows, concerts, movies, eat out, work out, and that person doesn't, and it bothers you that they doesn't, you're not with someone that's compatible with you. And in your 40s,
he made a key. Yeah.
Yeah, in your 40s, we got less time left than we had when we were in our 20s. You know,
yeah.
And we can't convert anyone. You know, by that time, people kind of who they are.
We can't convert anyone.
Yeah. She's going to spin her wheels. She's going to spin her wheels.
That's like turning a Jew into a Muslim.
Right. You know, we ain't in the business of converting people. We in the business of finding something. When we go car shopping or clothes shopping, we go shop and pick something that suits us, that's ideal for us. You know, we don't buy things that don't fit. Why do we get in relationships?
Hey, Mark, I don't know. I see some of these suits, they be putting a size 5 on 4.
Yeah, those are young guys. We talking about grown-ups.
Yeah, I'm talking about grown-ups. I'm talking about
grown mentality. So mentally as well as physically, you know.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, bro. I follow you. No doubt about it. Yeah.
So we buy food that we like. We don't eat food that we don't like.
Mm-mm.
We don't settle, you know, I like
now, more than
oranges,
one.
But I'm bananas and stuff because, you know.
Now, more than one.
So,
let me ask you a question. I got a question for you. So, Valentine's Day, you got any anxiety about Valentine's Day?
Not really.
Have you ever had it?
No. I can't say that I have.
Where can we bottle your DNA? Where can we get extract your DNA? bottle your stuff.
I'm like the, well, my views and my experience based on how I view holidays. You know, I think in I view holidays as kind of hypocritical, you know, to pick one day to do something that we're supposed to do every day, you know. So, you know, Thanksgiving, I try to give thanks every day. And as far as being with a loved one and having a significant other, I try to show that type of love on a regular basis, man, you know. And then
What if she kind of feel some of the social pressures of the day? So do you help her? How do you help her with how she feels about the day?
Well, as far as when it comes to me, I try to say that, you know, you don't have to do a whole lot for me. You know, my favorite meal is something, leave me alone for the day.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Let me ask you something. Are you married, or is this a girlfriend? Or are you living with one another? Okay, do you cohabitate?
A living relationship, yeah.
Okay,
and it's the first time in 9 years.
All right.
So
you kind of know each other. You can read each other's cues, and you know you don't have to really do a lot of contemplating about what she may like or vice versa, because, you know, if you're living with each other day in and day out, you kind of know that. Unless you're at a point in your relationship where you're trying something new, if you're open to trying something new and you're trying to figure that out, you know, to keep the relationship fresh. Because I think that's another thing that often happens with couples or people who know one another for an extended period of time. They take each other for granted, and they tend to do the same things over and over. But it's very important to, even in a new relationship, it's important to keep things fresh. Try something new, do spontaneous things, you know. Keep it fresh. Keep it, you know, sexy.
That's I agree with you. You know, they say the same thing that you did to get her is the same thing you need to do to keep her.
Exactly. Like, for instance, I tell women all the time, wearing a do-rag and a T-shirt to bed, that is not a good look. Ladies, you know, if you got a man, don't do that.
not if you
really want to keep him. Don't do that.
It's an individual thing. There are a lot of things to consider. You know, how long have they been married or together? If that person, the other person might be okay with that. He might be a do-rag T-shirt type of guy. I don't know.
Exactly.
I would tell you, the woman in me and the woman that I am, I don't think I would want to be with a do-rag T-shirt type of guy.
Right.
You know,
need to go find a smoking jacket dude.
Right. That's my point.
Listen, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I want someone. I call myself the woman that can go from 5-inch, 6-inch heels to Timberland. Okay? So I'm diverse.
That's what I'm
talking about. But, you know, I want to be able to, but I want that guy. I want somebody that can go from the Tim's to the smoking jacket. Now, do we need to have Grace Poupon?
To the do-rag.
Do we need to have Grace? Right. No, not the do-rag, though. Not the do-rag. That's a little.
I got to keep my ways in place.
Do that crap during the day. I don't want
to
see you.
No,
do-rag.
I got to go to bed with my. I got to go to bed with my wave cap on.
I don't want to see the wave cap. I really don't.
Well, so what I'm going to do?
You want to see the waves?
You want right? You want to see the waves? You want to get seasick?
No, I don't.
So
think,
what you
no,
talking
I don't,
about?
I don't. Wait, hold on a second. I'm not the one that gets seasick. Okay. I don't want to get seasick. No, I don't want to get seasick.
You
don't
want to see the waves. You don't want to see the waves.
You may be bull.
I'm saying I got waves. You don't want to see the waves.
Listen, who's to say, wait, hold on a second. Who's to say I'm attracted to men that have hair? Maybe
I'm like a clean head guy. But you know I got waves and you like me. What if you got me because you like how I look on me?
I'm here.
I gotta maintain it. It's like you know what it's like. Let me say this real quick, Bree. It's like if I see you, like you, I like the way you rock your hair. But in order for me to see you rock your hair that way, you gotta do your preparation, which to include maybe throwing rollers in or whatever you gotta do. So what are you supposed to do? Don't put the rollers in, cause what? I like the way your hair look when you drop it down. So you don't put the rollers in your head?
I don't go to bed with rollers.
But I'm saying if rollers were what you needed to have the hairstyle that you like
that
and I like.
During the day. I do it during the day, but I have a cold. I have a cold. I'm sorry. I may seem frou-frou. Yes, I am. I mean, I'm a tomboy at heart, but, you know, I'm very girly. Okay, and when I come to bed, I'm coming to bed correct. That's just me. Okay.
I do not come to bed
with the do-rag on and sweat. No, I do not do that. I do not eat green eggs and ham.
Well, you know what I'm gonna do?
I do not.
Hey, check this out. I'm gonna wait for you to go to sleep. And I put my do-rag on. Because I need my do-rag on for my waves. Trust and believe.
Well, okay. If at some point in the night the do-rag has
some
to
point.
Go on, I mean, I can compromise on that. But when we initially, you know, in the love zone, like, please, no do-rag. No do-rag. I don't want to see the do-rag, and I'm not putting one on.
So when I'm in the Marvin Gaye, then I got to have it off.
Absolutely.
Okay. So when I'm in my Marvin Gaye, let's get it on type. All right.
I mean, come on now. Just because, like our brother Mark just said, the way, and I've said this my whole adult life, the way you get the man is the way you got to keep the man. When he saw me, he didn't see me in no do-rag.
Okay.
Some damn sweat.
You know what? I think it's cute and sexy to say that, but I want to add something else to that, and this is this. The way you got the person doesn't necessarily mean the way you're going to keep them, because as you evolve, those things that you liked in the beginning may start changing, and you may start becoming adept to them. So I think this. I think you have to continually do things to keep the person, which may include the things you did in the beginning, but what it does require is that you are constantly aware of what is needed in the moment. So if your woman is shifting and changing and she needs some new things, you got to make those shifts too. That's all I'm saying.
Mark said it. Let me just be clear on something. And we're talking about me right now, okay? I have been in 3 long-term relationships, all right? And and if you took a poll with those 3 men, they will tell you I have never, not ever one time come to bed in rollers.
A do-rag and
sweats and t-shirt and stuff like that. I love dressing up. I love dressing up during the day, and I love dressing up at night. And when I come to bed,
It's an event. Okay? That's how I feel. That's how
Bree.
I feel. It makes me feel good.
Bree, check this out, though. This is all I'm saying to you, Bree, is this. I'm not talking about that particularly. I'm saying this. Whatever it is that you require, if I am a loving, attentive mate, I keep myself aware of that, and I do what I need to do accordingly. So all I'm saying is that if there were things in the beginning that you require in the beginning that you have shifted on, now you require new things, if I'm paying attention, I should know that. And
okay,
I should make adjustments accordingly. That's all I'm saying.
Let's hear from Brother Mark. What say you?
I always say, you know, people are different. All women are not alike and all men are not alike. And if, you know, I stated that I lived by myself for 9 years. And that gave kind of, and I don't recommend, there's no time frame, but during that time, it gave me the opportunity to not to settle for anything less than what I wanted. And it also afforded me the time to get to know a person on more than the surface level, and I progress through relationships, you know. And so sometimes I came upon things that I say, I'm not really cool with this. We on a different page when it comes to certain things. And it didn't, you know, and I'd rather not, because at this point I'd rather not play for too long if it's not going anywhere serious. You know,
so some
people didn't make the cut, and I didn't make the cut a few times, you know, because there were some differences that, you know, the people, some things people stand for that they're not really willing to compromise, you know. So, but my point is that it's all about getting to know the person thoroughly before you make a decision to go to the next level, you know, like they say, it's levels to this shit, you know. So you know, you get to one level, that doesn't mean that you're going to get to the next level. But you need to find out the information and be okay with it to go to the next level. So you might say, hey, you know, I dated. Now we spent the night, and I see that this guy wears a do-rag. And then you might question that or say, you might either say, that's a no-go for me. And then you might say, well, do you always wear the do-rag? Do you need to wear the do-rag?
Well, I'm going to ask a question.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so then he might say, he might be willing to compromise that thing, you know. And some people are willing to compromise certain things, and some are not. So then you get to say, well, if they're not willing to compromise, am I willing to accept it? And then you got the choice to either accept it or not accept it and decide whether the relationship is going to go to the next level. But sometimes, depending on where we at in our lives or what's happening in our experiences, sometimes we step out there real thirsty, you know, and we take the first thing biting, and we sometimes we tell ourselves that we so cold, we'll change a person's mind.
Wow. Damn.
Some women be talking about, boy, once I give them some, I make them come up out that do-rag, you know.
Well, you know, I want to thank you, and I want to keep you on the line, but I want to also bring a caller in from the 832 area code, 832. We're bringing you on the line right now.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I was listening to your radio talk. Hi. And
what's your name?
I was listening to the
and
young,
where are you calling
my name
from?
My name is Miss B.
Miss B.
I'm calling
and
from
you're
Houston.
Calling from Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Well, hello from Houston, Texas.
Well,
thank
hello,
you for calling
everybody.
In.
You're welcome.
So what do you think about what we've been talking about?
Well,
I love the fact that we have some estrogen on the line, finally.
Well, from what I'm hearing, the young man that's talking, like what he's talking, because it's like this. I feel like if a person is into you, it doesn't matter what you wear. You can wear a do-rag or rag on your head. It doesn't matter. If they're really into you, then it shouldn't matter, because once as we go together, eventually we're going to change anyway. So if I get a little bigger, are you going to dislike me because of that? You know, if I get a little disfigured, is that going to change the relationship? So you want somebody that's real. So if you're real about what you feel about that person, then it doesn't matter. That's how I feel about it.
Okay. You know, I want to change the topic, if I may, for a second. I know a person who lives in the Northeast here, and she's in her late 40s, and she's friends with a gentleman who's about maybe 13, 14 years older than her, and they spend an awful lot of time with one another. And he's asked her to participate in some Valentine's Day festivities. And I told her that, you know, when you spend time with a person, you're investing in them, and they're investing in you, and you're getting, you know, your lives are getting integrated. I mean, he goes to family events with her and, you know, goes to the store with her and walks the dogs with her. And I feel like there is a connection. But I think she's in denial as to what is happening. She says she's not into older men. She doesn't want an old man. She wants someone closer to her age. We tend to have debates about this, because I tell her, if this is really how you feel, then you need to curb the amount of time you spend with this person. What does everybody on the line think about that? I'll start with our new participant, Ms. B, and then we'll go to Brother Mark in Minnesota.
Okay. What I feel about that situation, if she felt like that in the first place, then she shouldn't have never started. You know, you pretty much know exactly what you want at the get-go. You know, your mind and everything, it tells you about if that person is for you or not. You pretty much know that. But a lot of people look over that, and I feel like, you know, that's why a lot of men out here today are hurt, because then they spend all that time with you and really get into investing and liking you, and then come around you waiting until you spend that man's money. Or you do some other things, and then after that you find out, you say, okay, well, I really don't like you. You know, you're really not for me. So it don't take all that. I feel like you should have never started in the first place. If she didn't like an old man, she should have cut it at the get-go. And
well,
not go
she tells
as far
him
as
regularly.
Going.
She tells him regularly that she's not into older men. She's not attracted to him that way. But yet, they still spend this very intimate time with one another. And then
well, I feel like
he does
maybe he
certain
needs
things
to be
or
examined.
Says certain things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I feel, because if he ain't getting the drift, then I don't know what to tell him. I wouldn't even go forth with it, because that'll cut it to the chase. First of all, if you're telling me that in my face, I'm going, I'm not even going to waste my time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mrs. B., hold on a second. Don't go nowhere. I want to hear from Brother Mark in Minnesota. What do you say about that?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, you know, the young lady has a responsibility, and it all depends on how much drama you like in your life, you know, because her mouth is saying one thing, but her actions are saying another thing. So she's very responsible for what's happening in the relationship, because if you actually mean no and that you're not into it, then she's kind of contradicting herself, because she's still participating. And either, you know, is that, or she's just the type of woman that's, you know, what we call a snake, scandalous, or whatever. She's taking advantage of the situation. So now she's playing a game that has a set of rules to it. And she's going to have to be okay with the rules and consequences that come along with playing that game. So that's why I said it all depends on how much drama you want in your life. Because when the time comes, you know, he's not gonna go by what you said. He's gonna go by what took and the participation, you know, that went on. So he's gonna count the dollars he spent. He's gonna count the time that he spent. You know.
To my knowledge, mm-hmm. he hasn't been spending a whole lot of money because he lives very, you know, humbly. But they spend a lot of time, and that's what's even more tenuous than spending the money. Is the time?
Yeah, you can get money back. You can get money back, but
right.
you can't get
you
time
can't get
back.
Time. That's right. That's right.
So, but she's
right.
like, either way it goes, she's participating and she's contradicting herself.
And here's the thing: when they go shopping, like for instance, if they go to a restaurant or they go to Costco, they go to the supermarket. Every time a guy is looking at her. He comes out of nowhere. He pop, like, you know, that movie, The Wedding Crashers, when the guy says, "I'll pop out at the right moment." That's him. He pops out all of a sudden and sticks his chest out like, "Da-da-da-da, I'm here. Don't talk to her," you know?
Right.
He's cock-blocking. You
yeah.
know?
Well, he's already, you described the fool to me, so we already know he's a fool. But she's the one understand what she doesn't want, you know. He's already not, like, on his, he's not on his square. So, but she, especially if he pops out like that and he's representing, you know. And the way I know is because I did it. I ran
okay.
somebody else trying to be all that I could be. And I overstepped boundaries. The person told me that they didn't want a relationship, but we kept going. You know, we spent
mm-hmm.
nights, we spent time, we made love, we did everything. Whenever she
so
called, I dropped
back.
What I was doing. Yeah, I dropped what I was doing, and I went over there. And then when she got tired, she was tired. And then
so
I was.
So he goes back to he needs to be examined, huh?
Yeah, you know, at first
yeah, okay.
You know,
okay.
After a while, after the sweating went down, I had to say, you know, I had to accept the fact that, you know, she didn't do that to me. I did that to myself.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
He
okay,
might not
Mark.
Be as logical with that, and he might snap. You know, some guys snap before they come to logic.
Well, can I make a comment about that word?
Sure,
you just said,
sure.
Snap.
And then we're gonna bring Mark said it back.
Okay. To that word you said, snap. I don't know if y'all heard here on the radio. I mean, on the TV that a young lady got killed here for a guy 64 years old that snapped.
Mm-hmm.
Was doing that same, very same thing, and she's a friend of mine that just got killed this weekend.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of the fact she was using that man's money, she
mm-hmm.
lost her job, and she felt that she could still have people come over to her house and the man living across the street. But this man is using his money, paying for your bills, paying for his bills, doing some different things. And I always tell people all the time, you never know where a person's mind is at. I tell people that all the time. I tell a lot of young ladies the same thing. You cannot get out here and use people's money because you don't know their mental state. A lot of times people on the up and up, they straight. But then after you done spent that time and you using your money and you seeing a dude come over next door sitting, and they might not be doing nothing but just chit-chatting. But you lose your life behind something stupid.
I tell you.
It ain't cool. It's just
well,
not
Mark
cool
said
at all.
It. Where are you and what say you?
Mm-hmm.
Mark?
Hmm?
Mark said it.
Which one?
I said Mark said it, not Mark in
oh, okay.
Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, and that's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous
oh, yes,
game, and like there's consequences to all your actions, and you got to ask
that's
yourself
right.
before you participate. You got to consider all the consequences that could happen, and ask yourself, would you be okay with it? There's sometimes I thought about dating certain people, and I see them talking a lot to a lot of people, And I said, I wouldn't want to date her. As good as she looked and whatever, I wouldn't want to date her because she run her mouth too much.
You check people out.
Yeah, you check people. Well, you check people out. You check them out, and you ask yourself, would you be okay with that? You know. And so, you know, they didn't consider the sources. You know, they didn't consider the consequences. I meant to say, and, you know, people kind of act on what they want right now. You know, I want what I want right now. Right now, I'm gonna take this person. I'm gonna use them for what I can get out of them, and then I'm going to kick them to the curb. Well,
exactly.
It ain't that easy with everybody. It's not that easy with people, you know. So some people respond very negatively, and you see it on the news all the time. Person
and that's so very true.
Killed everybody, then killed himself, you know, unstable. You know, you push them to the limit, and then they snap, and then everybody want to know
why they snap.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Why it's not? Well, you know, they've been abused, and it's obvious that something's wrong with a person that accepts abuse in the first place.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
A person that for a length of time accepting shorts, you know, like, you know I ain't getting treated right. I know I want more, but I'm still here, you know, going back and forth.
Well, that's what happened in that case. He did snap. He stabbed her two times. He stabbed her in the chest.
Wow.
And he stabbed her in the back when she took off running. And he
oh
killed her.
God.
He stayed there
oh
and watched her die until before he called the paramedics.
Yeah.
So I mean,
changing the subject a little bit, since you both weren't on earlier, we could take this time now to kind of revisit a topic that Mark and I we're talking about, and that is like the fade to black. You're dating someone or you're involved with someone that you don't live with, and you can see that there is a shift in their behavior around this time of the year. The closer that we get to Friday, the less text messages and phone calls you're getting. How do you feel about that? I'll start with Mark in Milwaukee.
Don't ignore the signs. It's not your imagination. You know, we're pretty gifted people, but we'll pretend not to know because denial protects us from being hurt. So we'll pretend not to know or that we don't see what we see or feel what we feel, and we'll proceed anyway. But it's real. It's real. You know, I'm a pattern person, so if the pattern changes, I know something is different. I know there's been a change or a shift. So if you get to Friday and then you ain't here, or any other day, you stop hearing from a person like you used to, you know, all of a sudden they phone going to voicemail or whatever else. You can act like you don't know.
Hello.
Something,
and Miss
G, I believe in just everything he said. He wrapped it up in all in one syllable. That's it. Because that's true, and it happens all the time. And the women need to really wake up and smell the coffee. And if you can, if he misses it in action to tomorrow, and he's back on board day after that, all that disappearing tricks.
Yeah.
I'm talking
about, hey. Come back. Day after,
well, you know, they ditch out and ditch in and ditch out and ditch in, ditch out and ditch in. You know,
yeah.
You need to cut that. There's something wrong. Either he married, number one. Number two, he's on them drugs. Or number three, he got a gambling habit. So what, it's out of one of those.
Something ain't right. You know,
something ain't right.
Something is fishy.
Oh, yeah, very.
Yeah, so. Yeah, then
well,
you can be a sucker if you want.
Well, okay, so since you both weren't on the two earlier shows, the part one and part two of Love Times Love, let me ask you a question or two. What do you think about who should pay for the date? You go out with somebody. You go out with someone for the first time. Who should pay?
Okay.
The very first time.
I'm going to ask Ms.
Well,
first of all.
Okay. Well, first of all, I can really go with that. First of all, I've been out on dates before, and if I'm really not feeling that person, I'm not going to eat, and I'm sure not going to let him spend his money on me. Now, if I think we can go a little further than that, and we're getting along and we're doing this and this and that, you know, you can ask the person if they want to, you know, go Dutch, or, you know, if that man is really digging you and he's really liking you like, you know, you think he is, or, you know, hey, then I don't think he would have a problem with if he wanted to buy your dinner or not.
Okay.
You know, it just all depends on the person. But I won't eat or drink. If the person is just not my cup of tea, I'm not going to let them waste no money on me. I'm a different kind of person. I don't do that. You know, and I know it's a lot of women out here, they go to dinner and they want to eat and this and this and that, and they go out just for the meal. I don't go out for that because I'm always carrying some money in my purse. If I decide I want to eat, I'm going to buy my own, especially if it's not. But I'm not going to waste that person's time. I'm not going to do that. Now, the other ladies, I can't speak for them.
All right. Okay. And Mark in Milwaukee, what say you?
Well, if I suggest going out or going out to eat, my mind is already set that I'm paying, you know, because I suggested it. You know, now sometimes the guys or people get together, it's not mutual, there's no love interest or something like that, then maybe, you know, everybody will go Dutch because, you know, friends, like, you know. But if I'm interested, and I'm at the point in time, especially the way the economy is, I ain't going out, you know. I'm not going to be spending a whole lot of money and time on casual things, you know. So I got to be real. I got to be interested. But if I suggest it, as a rule, if I suggest it, I'm probably, even if it's one of my guy friends, I say, come on, man, let's go have breakfast. Then I'm treating, you know. I'm not as petty as to not, you know, and I do things like that. So I don't have a problem if someone treats me, you know, on the other hand. So, you know, and it depends on who the person is, how well you know them. But if it's a first date, and if someone new, and I suggest going to eat, then I'm probably more inclined I'm going to pay. There's no there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. I'm going to pay. If I ask you out on a date, I'm paying. Yeah.
Cool. Well, here's another question that was quite controversial, and I'd be interested, Mark in Milwaukee. Is Mark Senate on the line?
This is me. The other guy
no,
gone,
not
I
you,
guess.
Not you. My co-host, Mark Senate.
is
Mark Senate somewhere out there? Okay. Well, we'll wait for him to come back. So, Mark in Milwaukee. Let me ask you this. Should you date when you're unemployed?
If you got money, I mean, I'm unemployed right now, you know.
Okay.
But I'm a hustler though, you know. I legally, let me just say that.
Okay. Thank you for that clarity.
Right, but you know, I managed to take care of my business. You know, I ain't just become unemployed and then sit around like a bump on the log or anything like that. You know, but it all depends on you. I know I made some mistakes in the past of not adjusting my habits according to my economic standards at the time. You know, or situation. And I learned, you know, I became unmanageable when I learned from that. But, you know, now I'm a little older, so I'm more inclined to stay in my lane, so to speak. If the money ain't there, then there's certain things I don't need to do. If you got it, you know, you're responsible for yourself. I'll be responsible. I don't blame anyone, even from the time that I spent money that I really didn't have. You know, maybe the person that the person was worth me spending the money that I didn't have just to get to know her better.
Okay. Okay. And Mrs. B, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't have a problem with it, just like, you know, as long as they can handle themselves, and sometimes people come into your life for a reason and a season, is what I believe. Sometimes people can be a little bit of an asset to you and help you get out of that crunch that you're in. So really, being realistic, it doesn't bother me that if a person doesn't have a job, because maybe I might be came into that person's life to shine a little light on him, or, you know, to get them to a place that they're not at, you know. And a lot of people feel shy about, well, you know, I ain't going to date because I ain't got no job and this, this, and that. And I always tell people, if you're going to be real, be real. You know, if you feel like you like that person, okay, say for instance you're married, but your husband lose a job, what you going to do, lose him too? That's the way I feel. But if I'm into you, and you lose your job, well, I do my best to try to help you the best way I can, you know. And I'm not down against that, because anything can happen to me, him, or her, or whatever. So, you know, it just all depends on the person. But now, if you are a bump on the log and you really don't want to do nothing with yourself and you really don't want no job, then we got to move along.
That's right.
We got to mosey along.
It was the consensus. I mean, where were you guys yesterday? Because there were three people on the line that felt that dating while in transition or unemployed was really not the appropriate thing to do, because they felt that it offered an emotional stress on the potential relationship and a financial burden on the other individual. What do you say about that?
Well, I feel like it ain't gonna be no more burden than it was at the get go. And if they in between a transition, you're supposed to be able to understand. Because, like I say, it can happen to anybody at any time, any given moment. It can happen. Mm-hmm. And you have to be understanding. I've met people before that does not have a job. It doesn't change the way I feel about them. As I say, I'm going to still try to help them as much as I can. But like I say, if you bump on the log and you ain't wanting nothing, and I'm doing all this chipping and turning trying to help you, and I don't see no difference or no results, then, like I say, it's time to move along.
I see. Mark in Milwaukee, what say you about that?
I've been in that situation. I dated someone. I was working. I was employed, but she had more money than I had. And it was funny, but, you know, that was my one abusive situation that I put myself in. She had more money, but she got money because her father died. You know, so when she got this lump sum paid off her house, she got one of the two trucks that he had down south in Mississippi, and she had some foster kids, and I used to help with the foster kids. You know, like I said, I was basically her butler when I was around, because I helped out. I could do anything that I wanted to do with my money, you know. And I took her out. We did things, you know. But I think she started thinking like trips to the Bahamas, Jamaica, going places like that. Instead of saying, let's plan a trip, she had on-hand cash that she could just, you know, swipe a card and go, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then she looked at me like, you know, I was a po-ass, you know, excuse of a man. You know, so some women are like that, you know. But again, I had to assume responsibility, because, you know, those signs, you know, it didn't happen once, it didn't happen twice, it happened multiple times, and I stayed. So, you know, it's on me. But as a rule, my opinion, I've dated someone who didn't have employment, They had other things to offer. They took care of their business. I was kind of attracted that they were still with the money that they did receive, that they took care of the important things like the home, grocery shopping. Everyone was fed, clothes were washed, the house was taken care of. So that I knew that if they did come across some money or in relationship with someone else, that she would be, could still be an asset and not a liability. So I think it all depends on the person. You know, some people are gold diggers. Some people live high on the hog, and some people are content with peace of mind and being blessed with the things that they have, you know. So it all depends. Everything still always goes back to getting to know the person, you know, thoroughly before you make a decision to stay. You know, if you stay, after you get the facts, then the responsibility is on you. So, I mean.
Well said. Well said. Well, here's what I want to know. I want to know, what is your take on, and you, and Mark, you kind of alluded to it earlier when you first came on, but I'd like to know what Miss B thinks about this. Wonder if you're involved with someone, and you have a lot of similarities, but some of the things that you really enjoy doing, this person doesn't. Like, for instance, let's say, let me see, what could I think? Yeah, you enjoy going out to do karaoke once or twice a week, and it takes place at a lounge. But the person that you're involved with doesn't particularly like to do that. I mean, how would you navigate that? Because, see, you know, we're talking about relationships, and we're talking about, you know, we're talking about this love times love thing, and whether you're cohabitating or you're living in two different spaces, but you're spending a lot of time with one another, that's when you're learning about each other, and you tend to want to, I mean, especially when you're in, I'm going to assume that all of us on the line are at least 40 plus years old. So when you are that age, you tend not to want to go out by yourself, especially when you're a woman. If you have a significant other, someone you're involved with, and you're dating regularly, you know, when it's time to go out and do these things, you want to have your partner with you. But you don't have a partner that tends to like those kind of things. So what do? Do you just throw your hands up and say, oh, we're not compatible, so I'm going to toss this relationship to the wind? Or what would you suggest for a person facing those types of challenges with a partner?
Well, kind of goes back to that beginning of the old time, say, well, you're supposed to get your time and get to know that person. Really get to know them. Ask some questions. You know, a lot of times people get out here and we just jump and say, oh, you know, he seemed like a really nice man, girl, and I'm going to, whew, girl. Okay. But there's some things, like myself. I'm a single lady. I'm a really kind of a homebound kind of person. But I do have my moments that I like to do stuff. Now, I'm not a club person, per se. I do like to go to church. I do like to go out, and I like karaoke, and I like all those things. But you need to find somebody that likes to do those things. I love to go bowling, and I'm a real girly-girly type person, and also a tomboy at times. So when you're talking with somebody at the get-go, you need to really find out what they like. But sometimes in some aspects people will tell you that they like those things and they don't. And you find out real early if that person is lying to you or not. But me, myself, I really asked that at the get-go. What do you like? Do you like going to church? Do you like going bowling? And you can kind of figure it out by the time that y'all spend. If that person ever wants to say, hey, come on, let's go bowling, you know, or, you know, let's go karaoke. And I go, hey, that sounds like something cool. It all depends on the conversation of a person. But if you really, really feel within yourself, and I go back to that word again at the beginning, that you pretty much know by your gut instincts yourself, but a lot of people look over it. You need to know if that person is actually for you. If you feel that person is not for you, then don't waste your time. I don't. Because your gut instinct is not going to fool you.
Okay.
That man could say some things and it just ain't. Mm-mm. I just think you really need to know your partner.
Okay. Well, Mark, what do you say about that?
She sounds like she's...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here. She said a lot of things that I said. Refresh me because she went off, and I was thinking about something else. I got to refresh me real quick as far as then we were talking about, if a person likes to go out and you're not that type of person. Or you don't like
person,
to go.
Yeah, I used the example of woman likes to go out maybe once or twice a month to do karaoke, and her partner doesn't like doing that because he's not really a lounge person. So what would you suggest that someone, whether it's a woman or a man that has challenges with their partner that doesn't really like to do some of the things that they really enjoy doing, how do they navigate that?
Well, it all depends. Right now, my current situation, I like to go out stepping, and she doesn't. So, but she's okay with me going out stepping. But I don't try to go out all the time stepping because even though a person say they're okay, they don't want you to just dog it, like go out every night stepping or do it. So I try to be considerate. I try to be considerate in those things. And at the same time, when you're with someone and you're committed to being in that situation, then there's the compromise. You know, you have to compromise. Uh-huh. Sometimes you got to do things that you don't do or don't like because you care or love the other person enough to want to do something that makes them happy. So it's not about you. It's about you making them happy. And that's where the compromise come in. You know, you might have to watch a football game or a basketball game to spend time, or he might have to go to a flower garden or, something that he normally wouldn't do, but he knows that it would mean the world to you if he accompanied you there, you know. So it's just, it's compromise. It's going to be compromises in relationships, you know.
Okay. Here's the last topic that I'd like to broach before we close out the show. Taking a step back. When a person says that they want to take a step back, how do you process that? What does that mean to you? We'll start with Mark, and then we'll hear from Mrs. B.
You better listen. You better listen. Pay attention, boy. They say step back. Hey. It is what you think it is.
Listen, in ballroom dancing, it's 1, 2, 3, step back. 1, 2, 3, step back. Right? Tell me, am I right?
He know about stepping.
I don't know what the step dance steps are, but I know I was taught by one of my friends that live in Detroit, and I used to fly there once a month just to ballroom dance. I got hooked.
Right.
And I know the steps are 1, 2, 3, step back. 1, 2, 3, step back. 1, 2, 3, step back. So when a person tells you that they need to take a step back, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, that means that they're telling you, quote-unquote, do that 1, 2, 3 step back. I mean step back. They mean they want you to step back up off the heels a little bit. That's what that means. And if they telling you that, you need to analyze what they telling you, because there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You might be too lovey-dovey. You might be too hands-on for them in the relationship.
Octopus.
And that's what I'm saying. You got to know who you're dealing with, and you got to accept what you see. You can't pretend not to notice. If you like to walk through the flower garden and through the park holding hands and hugging, and
they want to run through the rocks and the glass.
Well, you know,
you got to know who's in front of you before you get under them. Right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That is the truth.
1, 2, 3 step back. 1, 2, 3 step back.
And they ain't saying nothing about forward. Now, you heard them steps and say nothing about, okay, now let's come forward. They ain't tell you that. They tell you 1, 2, 3 step back, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that means the relationship is
going on this show.
Excuse me. Oh, we have Mark Settit back on the line.
Mark
said he was having some technical difficulty. My phone died, and it wouldn't hold a charge. I'm going crazy.
It stepped back.
That means put it back.
Oh, have mercy. Well, y'all sound like y'all having a big old party without me.
There's a shift in the relationship. If they tell you to step back, that's not good. Now,
that's
they say step forward.
Say it,
step forward, that's good. Let's get closer. That's a good thing.
They going to say, step to me, step to me.
Yeah,
listen
they
to
say,
the military word, step back.
You step back, I'm gone. Ooh, I know what that means. I ain't sticking around and stuff.
Hey, wait a minute. What did I just walk into? What the hell is going on?
Ambush.
Well, Bree.
Yes.
You got the real livers on this one. I'm telling you.
Well, I wrote their numbers down because I think I found two new usual suspects. We have on the Bree Life Radio Show our usual suspects, which are character callers that participate in all our shows. And I'm recruiting for new usual suspects. So I just want to let y'all know I have your numbers. I will be calling and interviewing you to participate.
Okay. Yeah. You ain't got to interview them. He ready. ain't no need for no interview.
My.
I swear for
cheese. That's it.
Crackers.
You said it.
That's my name.
So Mark,
yeah.
What I would like to do for the next minute and 40 seconds, wrap up our three shows in less than a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark
Keep
said
going.
It in less than a minute.
Here he goes. Mark said in less than a minute. Our three shows have been this. Basically, we've been exploring the intricacies of these relationships, how we maneuver them, how we're motivated by them, and where we're going in the future with them. So that's basically what we've been doing in a nutshell. We started talking about roles in relationships. We were talking about basically when people take a step back, like y'all been talking. We talk about Valentine's Day. But all of this is basically this, and this is what my mumbo jumble is. At the end of the day, relationships are the core of our society. So if we want to take the temperature of how well our society is, find out how well our relationships are going. If our relationships are not going good, so goes our society. So that's what Mark
said. Mark said it in under a minute. And I want to thank you. My name is Bree. You have been listening to the Bree Life Radio Show. I want to thank my tentative new usual suspects on the line, and I want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. Peace and blessings, and we'll see you next week.
Next Saturday.
All right, real good.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Adrian in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we're going to go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look.
We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn and the building. Hike all the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, hope you ain't fragile. Through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree. Breaking down the next to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
From politics to current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Hey.